I'm really thankful to be with you this morning. And I'm thankful to see all of you as well.
This morning,
we're in the house of the Lord to worship the Lord, to hear what the Lord is saying to his people. So please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John. John chapter 1. Our verse this morning is only verse 29, but we will read
29 to 34.
The next day, he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him. But for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel." And John bore witness, "I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'He on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is him who baptizes with the Holy Spirit.' And I've seen and have borne witness that this is the Son of God." May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And I'll pray. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you, O God, for this morning. For you are God and you are willing to speak to us. We pray your grace this morning, Lord. Your grace to speak as we are listening, O God. May the church be filled with your knowledge and your glory. May your people, O God, see you as you are. We pray your grace, Lord, that this word may remain in the hearts of your people. In the sake of your Son, we ask all these things and we say, Amen.
Amen.
Last week, I have learned something here in Olivet as we were doing the evangelism. I have learned that you can call the people of Olivet with names. You can call them thieves, you can call them robbers, you can call them sexual immoral people, you can call them liars and idolaters. You can say to someone, "Hello, Injayam. I hear someone say, 'Injayam,' and the other one says, 'Hola.'
You can say, 'Hello, my dog,' and one can say, 'Hola.'
Omunyati, 'Hey, it's Kevin Sam.' Omunyati, 'Poso.'
You fee for a robber.
All those are not good names, but people accept them. You can call someone and say, 'It's Koko.'
No.
Koko, it's worse than dog food. You can say to someone, 'It's Koko,' and he says, 'Hola.' You can call people with any name you want to call them, but sinners.
Okay.
As soon as you say people, they're in need of Christ, they're in need of the grace of God, you can see the rage and the fury and the hatred on their eyes. The question is, my friend, how does God look at us as His people? What does God see as He looks deep in our own hearts? Does He see thieves, prostitutes, and dogs? No. He sees sinners. Which is why He sent His Son into the world to die for those in need of salvation. So this morning, John, the baptizer, he reveals something that we cannot change, something whether you like it or not, it remains the truth. He says Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the source of life. He takes away the sins of the world. So He reveals that we are a people in need of a Savior to take away our sins. He makes the most startling statement ever as He sees Jesus coming through the crowd, coming towards Him. He says, "Behold the Lamb of God." He's speaking directly to the people standing on the banks of the River Jordan, people waiting to be baptized. Some of them, they are already being baptized. He unfolds to them God's plan of redemption. He reveals that the Savior has come into the world. He says, "You people can observe the law. You can come to be baptized. You can do all the good deeds." You can observe all the rituals. You can go to the temple for worship. But when it comes to reconciliation with God, you will need a Savior. When it comes to you, that you may be united with the Lord, you need someone different or something different. He says there is but one sacrifice pleasing unto the Lord. As you see Jesus coming through, He points to Him. He says, "There He comes. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It is the same today, my friends. There are so many things we can think that we can do in order to please God, but all that cannot do us any good unless it is based on the Son of God. Everything counts for nothing unless you have the Son of God. So this morning we are going to look at the importance of this verse, verse 29. "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." We need to know how to behold the Lamb. Why to behold the Lamb? Who should behold the Lamb? So we are going to look at this thing in 3 points. If you make you writing your notes, point number one, we're going to look at a look on Lamb. Yeah, a look on Lamb. Then secondly, a sacrificial Lamb. And a missional Lamb. Some of the greatest wonders of the world is the Grand Canyon in Arizona, USA.
Grand Canyon, USA, Arizona.
Yes. And another one, you can think of the Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe or Zambia, if you want to put it that way. Or else, here in Mpumalanga, you go and find what is called the Sodwala Caves. But when you get there, your own concern is to look and consider what you will find there, is to keep unto your brain everything that you will see there. When you get there, you pay careful attention to the things that are displayed before you. You want to see everything. You take pictures because you want to remember the things we have seen. So this morning John uses the word behold. He uses the word behold. He means you need to take a deep look. You need to consider what he's talking about. He's speaking about people lifting up their eyes to the one who was coming through. So when he says behold, in other words, he's expecting people to be puzzled on whom was coming to them. John speaks as though he was seeing a lion. You know when you see a lion and you say, Nali Pumes! You know that kind of attention. It's not like saying, No, it's not like, oh, Pegele Moto. It was a sound of. He wanted the people to be puzzled, to pay attention. Take a look at the man who's coming through. He was speaking as though he was seeing a strong and a mighty man coming towards him. But he says, this is a lamb of God, not a lion, but a lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Someone gentle, someone pure and meek is coming towards us. He speaks of the Redeemer coming into the world, coming through the crowd and making his way to John the Baptist. People were so surprised because at the time people they knew that God promised to send a savior, but they were waiting for someone great, someone like a lion, someone so might, a man that will come and deliver them from their enemies. But John says, here comes the lamb. There is a reason why John calls him a lamb. We'll go through that. But at the moment, what is very important is the point that John says, you need to take a look to this person who's coming through. You need to focus, you need to pay attention unto the one drawing near to you. Because now John is challenging the knowledge of the people on basis of the promise of God. He wants them to remember the redemptive promise of God. Listen to what God says in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40, and I will read from verse 3 to 5.
Isaiah 40, verse 3 to verse 5.
Yeah, Isaiah 40. He says, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled up, and every mountain and a hill shall be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
Lukisa mila wa mrena, lukisa feleng, le otulele mudimwa wana mila le hatate. Dukoso tse di tla katwa, dithaba le magalla di botlalatswe le tsone di tutudi di botlalatswe baka tema baka tema kukuno di batlalatswe tota ya mrene e tla bonagatswa batho bohle ba tla boa ba le mmogo ba mrene o boletse jwalo.
This is Isaiah speaking 790 years before the birth of Christ.
Bona ke etho Isaiah outward dilemo tse 790
but he's saying that God is about to bring about a change to the lives of the people. God is sending a savior into the world. And then John here in John chapter 1 says, this one, the one that God has promised, is the one coming through. Here comes your God. That is the reason why you need to look unto him. This is your savior coming through. He reveals to them a redeemer that he has come into the world.
He
says, you don't look further, he is in your midst. So John is like someone holding a board, a signboard, pointing to the right direction, which leads to a correct destination. Yes. So John says, do not look at me. Look at the one coming through. He says, behold. He gives the highest and the solemn direction to the right reception of a Christ. In other words, John says, if you want the blessing of God in the world, you need to focus into the one coming through. You need to put your eyes of faith on Jesus Christ. You need to have an earnest look, a look of confidence, a look of confidence, a look which transfers the whole trust and the whole affection of your heart to the object in which it pointing to. A look which makes it impossible for the heart to know the Savior, but to make the Savior the object of the worship. So what did John do? John stopped doing everything. John was busy with his function, his religious function. So when Christ came, John stopped. That is what he wants people to do. That is what he wants people to understand. When we speak about Jesus, everything else needs to stop and wait, and then we need to behold Christ as a savior. John said in the upper verses, he's telling the people, he says, the man coming through is greater than I am. Among you stands one whom you do not know. Even he who comes after me, the straps of his sandals I'm unworthy to untie. So what does John mean when he says, behold? John speaks of looking. John speaks of people putting their faith and their trust on Jesus Christ. We need to bring our lives unto him, to turn to his grace, to turn away from our wickedness and our sins and trust upon him, to believe on the Son of God. Take your eyes away from everything else and focus unto Jesus. John uses the word behold. He makes it possible for us to see that looking is all that matters. Looking is all that matters. They say sin comes through seeing. Seeing or looking is all that matters. The reason how you made it through here is because you can see. So John says you need to focus, because it was looking, it was to look that turned this world as it is today. Eve looked at the tree and desired the fruit of the tree, and then she ate the tree. Looking is very important. We have learned 2 weeks ago, when you look at John chapter 3, we have reminded ourselves that the people in the wilderness, they had to look on the serpent, on the bronzen pole, the bronzen serpent on the pole, that they may live, they had to look unto that and live. And we have learned that in the same way, people need to look at Jesus and be saved. It was a look that betrayed the whole world into sin and condemnation, like I've said. John says it is a look again that will reunite the people and reconcile the people to God. It is a look again that will take our misery and our sins away from us and set us free. Why? There is a reason why to behold the Lamb, to look and to have faith on Him. He said, behold. In the same verse, it says, He is the Lamb of God. Not just another Lamb, not any other Lamb, but the Lamb of God. John is leading us somewhere here. And I'm going to take you there. John is talking about the Lamb. It is very important to understand the Lamb. So John, in other words, he reveals Jesus as a sacrificial Lamb. We can remember that in those days, they used to take lambs and sacrifice them for their sins in the temple. So if John says Jesus is the Lamb, he's speaking of Jesus who also going to suffer for the sins of the people. In verse 29 it says, this Lamb takes away sin. And the Bible says, for us to have the forgiveness of sin, there must be shedding of blood. So John says, here comes a true and a final sacrifice. He's speaking to people who have been sacrificing lambs each and every day of their lives. John says God was not pleased with this sacrifice that you were doing. Here comes the true and the final sacrifice, the one that will take away sins. John reveals hope for the people. John reveals a savior. He reveals a savior for the people. He reveals the one whose blood shall purchase a people for God. We can think of the incident which happened in the book of Exodus. We need to be reminded of that way of salvation that God revealed there. We open just now. When Israel was in bondage, they cried to God and they asked God for mercy, and God sent them a deliverer with the name of Moses. But God could not deliver His people without the shedding of blood, without a sacrifice. So for them, in order to pass from the land of slavery and bondage into the land of milk and honey, God demanded a sacrifice. That is what John has in his mind. And I want us to look at this Exodus 12 and then try to apply this unto us today. So we must be reminded before we even look there that in Egypt there were two peoples. Yes. There was the Egyptians who treated God's people wickedly, people who were led by a cruel king who tried to destroy the people of God. Then in the same place, Egypt, you had the Israel, the people of God. But I want to tell you something, that the Israelites and the Egyptians, they were the same in the eyes of the Lord. The Egyptians were wicked people, treating the people of God wickedly and cruelly. But the Israelites as well, they were sinners. They were not the saved people. They were people with evil hearts. They were people who were born in sin. They were the children of Adam, just like me and you. Moses had killed a man. So in other words, both the Hebrew and the Egyptians, they were the same in the eyes of the Lord. They deserve the holy wrath of God. But the Bible says, in that night when God was taking out his people before he could destroy the Egyptians, God granted favor to Israel. God provided a way for his people to escape his wrath. The Bible says, we will read just now, the Bible says, God said he was going to come to Egypt and destroy everybody. Unless there was blood on the doorpost of the people of Israel. So the people had to sacrifice a lamb and put blood on their doors and their doorposts and the lintels. And when the angel of death comes, he will see the blood, then he will pass those houses where the blood was applied. If there was Israel who didn't to suffer the wrath of God.
Paulo chapter 12 verse 22.
You can see that God's people find favor. They deserve to die. Just like everyone else. I want us to think about this. I'll find the verse 22 and 23.
Lenkele makakwa e sopa ya ina mading aka sekotolong le tose o sene e se ka o di mo ho munyapo le sepedi tse ka mahlekoreng ka madi a tswang ka sekotolong o se be motho ya tlatswa ka tshumi ya hai o fihlela o satane morena o tlatsa maya o gepeta a bolaye ba e gepeta e pa ha bona madi ko sene e ka o di mo le ho tsepe di tse ka mahlokoreng morena o tla feta minyako a se dumele motimetsi hore a kene ka mathu a lona ho le bolaya.
So the Bible says he was coming to destroy everything unless there he saw or you could see blood on the doorpost.
O tla tlo bolaya tsohle
Then the Lord will pass over the doors of the Israelites if you could see the blood. That's what the Bible says. So, in other words, when you look at these verses, we can see that when God comes in judgment, no one will survive, but only those who have the blood applied. That's very important. That's very important. When God comes for judgment, no one survives unless blood is applied. And none of you here has sacrificed the lamb. None. So if God comes, if God could come and we have not sacrificed anything, John says, no, you don't have to. Here comes a lamb that will take away the sin of the whole world. A lamb that will be sacrificed for all the peoples. It is possible that you're still bound by sin even this morning. You have never been liberated from your bondage. You need to behold the Lamb. You need to look unto Christ. Because it's the true and the final sacrifice of God. Because no other can save you. So we can see where we just read. The blood had to be applied. But let's look again from the first verse. How did God provide a way for salvation for the people? This is where the issue of lamb sacrifice started. If this had not happened, John was never going to say, behold the lamb. It's very important for us to read from verse 1 to 14. So, I will summarize just because of time. But when you get home, read verse 1 to 14. In this narrative, in this story that is in chapter 12, God is teaching us His way of salvation. God provided an atonement for the people in a form of a lamb. A lamb had to be sacrificed for sin. It had to be a perfect lamb. There we see a picture of a perfect sacrifice. The Bible says that lamb had to be pure and spotless. So what do we see here, Bazalwan? We see here that when God demanded a sacrifice for sins, He also provided it. He told the people how the animals were supposed to be. In other words, when it comes to salvation, there is nothing that we give. We only come to receive. There's nothing that you give. You cannot give your money to buy the salvation of God. There is nothing you can give. You cannot give your services that you may be saved. We come to receive. John says, here is the Lamb of God coming. Receive Him. You don't have to have big pockets. You don't have to have big envelopes and throw them in a basket for you to be saved. You need just to receive. That's what we learn here. There's nothing we can give. God gives what He demands. So John says, Jesus is the sacrificial lamb, atoning lamb, a spotless and a pure lamb, a perfect and a true sacrifice, pleasing unto God to be a ransom for us. He says, if he calls him a lamb, in other words, he's telling us that Jesus will be slaughtered like a lamb. In the book of Isaiah 53, this is being told to us. If you can check Isaiah chapter 53, we are told that the Son of God will be slaughtered like a lamb. Zafundo verse 5 and 7 from this one. But he was wounded for transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth, like a lamb that is led to slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. John the Baptist says, this is the one. And over 2,000 years from Christ back, God told Moses about the sacrificial lamb, which takes away sin. But John says today, we need something better than the lamb of the Old Testament. Because men have sinned, we need a man who is perfect to stand in the place of people who are imperfect. We need a perfect atonement, a perfect substitutionary sacrifice. All that we need is the sinless Lamb of God to share his blood for the sins of his people. We don't need a lamb that we pick up from among lambs ourselves. We don't need a lamb that we will carry ourselves and slaughter it. And I'm aware that some people, they even slaughter chickens. You don't need a white chicken. I did slaughter some white chicken before. It doesn't work. You will remain a sinner. John says you need a lamb of God to take away sin, a perfect substitute to intervene between our sin and the wrath of God. Someone needs to stand in between and absorb the wrath of God. What we see here is that we had the greatest need. God had to come down from heaven because there was nothing on earth to help us. So John is calling everyone, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. What does he mean by the world? John is aware that all have sinned. All people deserve the wrath of God. And all need to behold the Lamb of God. Unlike the Lamb of the Old Testament, which covers the sin of the people temporarily, this Lamb of God covers your sin and takes it away complete. Unlike the Lamb of the Old Testament, which only covered the sins of the Jews, he didn't remove their sins, it covered their sins temporarily. But this lamb takes away the sins of the Jews and the sins of the whole world. That is the lamb we need. What does that mean to us? It means that this lamb is a missional lamb. It's a lamb that does not focus in one leaky area. It's a lamb that focuses in the whole world. His mission is worldwide. His mission is to all the peoples of the world. Those who will believe in him. Those the Father has given to him shall come to him. This is the Lamb who carried our sins to the cross. His blood is not applied to the doorpost, but his blood is now applied in the hearts of his people. His death sets free better than those people who were set free from Egypt. His death now sets us free and we pass from death and enter into eternal life. It's a pity that today many people are willing to ignore the Savior. They want to look for another one. Here in South Africa, we've got four so-called black messiahs. And you ask yourself, why people are willing to follow these fools, these false religions? Then you find your answer, because people want to continue in sin. People don't want to know that they are responsible to God for their own sin. Dear congregation of God, Jesus is the Lamb of God, provided by God to be a sin bearer for his people. God gave us Jesus Christ that he may atone for the sins of the people who scorned him. Not only those who were in sin at that time, but the sin of the people till to the end of the age. The question is, my friends, do we believe in Jesus? Do we look at Christ and behold him as the Lamb of God? Are we set free from our sins? Are we cleansed by the blood of Christ? Because we must not be mistaken. Sin is universal. That's why John says, he takes away the sin of the world. So sin is not only affecting us here in Olivet. Sin does not only affect the poor, it also affects the rich. Sin does not only affect male, it also affects female and children. And there is only one Savior for all, that is Jesus Christ. So John says, behold, you need to face up with the depth of our sins. We need to face up with the seriousness of our crime and our guilt before God. So if you will experience Christ's saving power this morning, you must accept him as a Savior. You need to accept that Christ was innocent and you are guilty. He is pure and you are sinful. He is spotless and you are depraved. You need to stop trusting in yourself. Because someone greater than life has come into the world. And then you need to behold him. Jesus is the look on Savior. He's the one we must fix our eyes upon. He's the one we must believe on and have faith on him. He is the sacrificial lamb. He died for the sins of his people. He is the only one who satisfied the wrath of God. He's the one who took your place on the cross. Jesus is a missional lamb. He saves the whole world.
Those
who will believe in him. He says, come. And have life. I read of a story. A man who went for an operation to a specialist. And when he got there, they prepared him for this surgery. Then the doctor came in. And then before performing this operation, the doctor started to speak to him. He said to him, these few words, look at your wound. Look how deep is your wound. Then look unto me. Because I'm the only doctor that can save you. When you look unto me, fix your eyes unto me until I'm through. What does that speak to us? Look at your wound. Look at your own failure. Look at your own sin. Look at what sin has done in your life. Then put your eyes unto the Lamb of God. Focus unto him and don't let go until he's through with you. Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. Remain in the Lamb. And have the blessings of God. May the good Lord bless you. And I pray that you think and meditate on these things through the week. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you this morning. Maybe you know inside your heart that you need to behold the Lamb. You don't have to come to the front. You don't have to raise your hand. No. Believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. Believe in your heart. Let us all believe in our hearts. As I pray, may the Lord save your soul. Amen. Let's pray. We are so grateful, our Lord, for your way. Thank you for reminding us to behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I pray, Lord, for your people this morning who have received your word, who have heard your word. I pray that, Father, the word may be a seed that germinates in their hearts and bring forth a fruit, O God. I pray for salvation for your people. I pray that your people may remain in the Lord. Oh, save your people, O God. Save your inheritance. Allow your people to come to you, O God, that they may pour their hearts unto you, that you may save them, O Father, and bless them in this life for the life to come, that Christ may be King in their hearts. I pray all this for the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say Amen.
Amen.
Now, Valametho, as I read the benediction for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.